Hi, I'm Daniel Lucas. You're listening to Science 101, making science approachable, understandable, and relevant to everyday life. And of course, my legendary co-host, Mr. Mark L. Christensen.
Well, Daniel, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Mr. Mark.
And good to be here.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, great. And yourself? How are you doing?
Well, I'm fabulous and excellent. People, thank you so much for being part on Science 101, where every week we dissect everything that Mr. Mark is talking about. Just like today.
Yes.
What will be our topic for today, Mr. Mark?
Yeah, touching on fungus theory, the concept is that everything today arrived from one original fungus. It was both plant and animal. And this fungus is on its way to producing humanity as the spore of that fungus one day. That's basically the concept of fungus theory. But today we're going to talk about manpower evolution and your part in it and why it's involuntary and you should be grateful for it.
Interesting topic.
Manpower. First of all, what is the most valuable resource on the planet? Do you have an answer for that?
Most valuable
resource.
Well, the most valuable. Can you rephrase the question, Mr. Mark?
Yes.
The most valuable.
The most valuable resource on the planet is
water.
Well, that's a good one because you can't have anything without that. But it's not a resource because it's plentifully available. But so it's not considered a resource. It's considered a natural thing.
Natural resources.
It's manpower.
Oh, okay.
It is over gold and everything else. If you don't have manpower, you're not building a pyramid to put the gold.
Without us.
Yes. See, so what we are men, all of us men and women, and we have a power and it's being put to use whether you know it or not or whether you like it or not. And here in America, we have the freest form of being forced into that manpower than any other country on earth and in any other time in history of humanity and the earth. So it is all about manpower because that's the only way we can organize to escape earth. Now that's the big picture and that's why. And I have a little bit of conspiracy behind wondering if the powers that be know this and that they're actually functioning with this idea in mind. And once again, why life organizes to escape Earth? Because Earth ends. It has an expiration date. And that is a cosmological design through all of the atoms and matter in the universe. So let's build a solar system so that it can end. That is what we are existing in. So that being very natural, what is natural about it? What is being produced within that system is a plan to escape. And biology itself, the entirety of biology, has this embedded in it, this escape platform for not only Earth, but I would think any biosphere in the universe that would evolve to the point where it was bipedal, where there was a human-like walking person. If not, then it doesn't matter because without walking, you don't have your hands free and you're not a powerful man. So we have to become manpower. So I'm going to read from some notes because this is a newly organized form of the concept. Every habitable environment has an expiration date. We talked about that. Species that fail to adapt disappear. See, so you have to adapt, meaning all of our biology has adapted to bipedalism so that we can become manpower and organize a way off. The chronobiological imperative is a pressure that life to develop solutions before the environmental opportunities are lost. So there's a time frame to this. And I want you to think for a minute what that feels like because your nervous system is operating on that right now. The reason why you have to get up, the reason why you have to hurry up, the behavior of traffic alone will show you this. If you study other people's driving behavior, it's operating on this nervous, subconscious nervous system that it realizes that we only have so much time, or our opportunity to survive the end of Earth is lost. And you can see that in people's attitudes, the way we exchange merchants, commerce and merchant exchange, just give me the money. All of these behaviors that you don't like are good in a way. Yeah, because you're watching biology do what it's supposed to do. Find a way off within a certain amount of time. And manpower is manpower is biology's force multiplier. So one human can't do it, but one human can survive all of this. So millions of coordinated humans can build civilizations. Divisions of labor allow biology to achieve goals impossible for individuals alone. So as important as you and I are as individuals, which is very important, it is not as important as a large number of us together. That's what manpower is about. Technology is the next stage of biological adaptation. So technology is the next stage of biological adaptation. So if this is true and manpower is here in order to manipulate the resources we have on the planet, like steel, metals, wood, and unnatural elements as well. If manpower is here to manipulate those things, they're here to manipulate them for the biological adaptation away from Earth. And think about that for a minute, because if you look at the last 100 years of the Industrial Revolution evolve all these materials, you'll see it coming together that that's what this is all about, to be able to technologically adapt to space, pretty much. Because we only have one place to go from Earth, and that's space, or die. There's a place to go after you die, but we'll prolong that for as long as we can by leaving Earth and going into space. Obviously, it's the final frontier, as they say. So, money, this is the one thing to concentrate on in this particular talk, because money is the money economy that's also generated from sunlight on the big scale. I just want to say that right away so that you understand that without the solar economy, there is no money or financial economy, because the biology that comes from solar energy has developed that money economy in the hopes that you will motivate large groups of people, manpower, to develop the technologies in time, in the time window we have, to escape Earth. And that is one continuous biological process. It really is that simple. It really is the whole story. We can get into details later, but that's it. That's the everything story. And heliobiogenesis also predicts the expansion beyond Earth. We talked about heliobiogenesis again, that everything comes from a sun ray. Everything, including the melting of ice, which gave us our oceans, which started the biological process through molecules to develop the cell division that turned into a fungus that divided and made plant life and animal life, that made humans in order to become space capable bearing individuals eventually, so that we or someone or some human could leave with the story of all that was on. That's the nutshell. So when you go to work and you're working for money, that's the only real systematic motivator for you to go help the development of technology. So let's just say you have to make ends meet. And here's another weird thing. We can't all, you know, the electricity bill. Why is that always the thing that we don't want to afford or can't eventually, no matter how much money you make, like that electricity bill is always there going, ouch. And I think that that is along with some other resources, that is a bladder type resource that is governed by intelligent sources to always make you get up and go to work and go get a job. In communist countries, you don't have a choice. You go up and you get a job. But in America, we're free. And in other countries, you're free to get up and be self-motivated as a human. But the one thing that's going to regulate that so you don't turn into a couch potato is the electricity bill. Because without that, you can die overnight without warmth. So there's a system at large here. There's a sociological human system helping to propel humans in massive amounts of humans, that the manpower itself, to be motivated to do anything at all. Because in the billions, which we are, that is supporting one directional process of innovation, and that's technology. And I would say, I want to try and break it down later in a visual figure so you can see it. But at the top of the pyramid would be, you know, technology, space capable living capability. And everything below that is supporting the growth of that one single goal, at least on Earth. That's the way it is. So if you're a panhandler, or if you're a metal collector, or a can collector, even at the very, very bottom economic sources of jobs and earning money, that is supporting everything above it, strangely enough. And then you just have your menial jobs, like being, say, a clerk at a grocery store. You're helping people feed themselves so they can go to a different job. Say it's radio technology, and they're perpetuating the growth of those technologies in radiology, or maybe it's just computers or transportation. That's what the grocery store clerk is actually doing. Whether he's getting paid or not doesn't even really matter. He's actually supporting the nutrients that go into the humans that develop all the technologies to one day be able to leave Earth safely and adapt to space life eternally. And so don't be so upset that you have to get up and work. You're supporting the success of humanity through technology and the manpower evolution. Once again, it's an evolution too. I'll get into that a little bit. That supports the possibility of humanity surviving the end of Earth. And it's innate in you, whether you feel it or not. I would try and get in touch with that, because that really answers a lot of your frustrating questions. Why is there war? Why is there disease? Because humanity or manpower itself would relax, and that would encroach on the time limit necessary to be able to become space adaptive. And that's critical. And you can see the events that happen, these major events, the world wars, and even asteroid impact and volcanoes. All of these things are like one biological system perpetuating that potential of technology to develop within a time frame. If you were told this as a structure, you probably wouldn't be as capable of supporting it, knowing it. So it's just strange to, if you could know it and still be a participant in it. Because really, before any of what I'm talking about, manpower evolution, okay, it's important because that's what we need to survive the end of Earth. But more importantly, if you don't reproduce, you won't have the men to have manpower. Remember, it's in numbers. You know, we can't do this as individuals. So, and it has to be in the billions. So it's reproduction first, manpower second, technology third, escape fourth, in that order. So it's confusing. because sometimes the events in the world describe not technological advancing as an important factor, but the sociological events show us that it's more about reproduction of the human being in general. And I just want to add to this, the Muslim population is increasing, you know, eight to one fold. So biology, even though that we question the mentality of that style of regime, biology wants to support anything that is reproducing first, because without that, there's really nothing. There's no meeting the goal. There's no time window. There's no nothing. So that's really important. I think biology knows this. So whatever is reproducing the most is going to get the support first. And I think that's why we're having an advancement on the Muslim community. You're kind of watching it in real time. Then we'll worry about getting off the planet. See? So people first, getting off second, in that order. So it's confusing to see your place in it, but you're just one of billions of parts. So to unconfuse your place in it, you can determine some things about where you are, where you were born, the conditions you're under, and how you're applying yourself to the primary goal of eventually being able to sustain life away from Earth. And to do that, they restrict you on resources like electricity and health so that you are subconsciously motivated. See? Because if you were consciously motivated, you say, well, I'm not going to stay home today. I don't feel like going to work. That's your conscious effort. But because the powers that be develop all the resources that you need for longevity, health, and raising your family, they're manipulating those resources so that you feel subconsciously motivated to go to a job and keep it. And this is all good. This is really, really good, because now you see what the system is really all about, and the complaints of your place in it can also, you know, reside a little bit. You know, you're accepting your place in it, which is just billions of different parts to this economic aspect, and you can only be one of them yourself. Anyhow, what are your thoughts on that, Daniel?
That's interesting. Mr. Mark, go to job every day and do your part as well, the world go round. So, yes. Mr. Mark, what does term manpower revolution mean today's rapidly changing workforce, and why is it becoming increasingly important?
Well, because there's layers and layers of new technology overlapping the technology you're not even aware of yet. It's there's tenfold in front of us you and I haven't even heard of this starting to apply to our civilization, in the hopes that our main agenda of adapting to space life can increase. And I don't know if governments are clearly aware of that. They've got to be, because they have think tanks and they know what the end result of everything. They have to. So why wouldn't that be a motivator for government to keep their populace not controlled, but, you know, enforced to work jobs for the growth of that technology? If you look at the Roman times, I mean, they really developed a lot of our sewer systems and water systems. How we keep water hot. And those are very almost caveman fundamental technologies back then, but that was the beginning. And also social structures with law. Rome really was a great organizer of large groups of people and getting them to work together. But they can only do so much without the growth of technology. So it's about the next technology allowing that group of people to work more efficiently. Then it plateaus, and then a new technology will eventually arise, and then it just keeps going like that. So your question about today and the future, Well, gosh, you know, there's a lot of things happening with Elon, of course. He says in the future, he says in the future, you can work if you want, which is kind of dangerous to the, you know, primary goal of getting off in a certain time frame. So in a weird way, that would have to be progressive towards that. I'm not really sure how. There's the robotic era coming, the robotic revolution, where everyone will own a robot in 10 years that will do 50% of your manual labor. Like, and you'll have to get the new robot every year. That's coming. So, you know, I've got ditches to dig in my backyard, and I'm 66, so I can dig on that.
Eventually.
Yeah. So, because life is kind of an improv, like you can only respond to something you're hearing, right? That's what improvisation acting is all about. You don't create in your head a story. You respond to one line of dialogue that you hear, and then you respond, and then they respond back. So it's this ping pong ball evolutionary process. So the future is the same way as far as humanity and technology. You have to have one thing arrive, and then you can respond to it. But we are accelerating, and that's a good sign, because what is our main goal here? Our main goal is to become space capable one day. As far away as you think that is, it's still an important focus to have. And the other reason why it's an important focus to have is you can rationalize why your life is exactly the way it is. You can go, oh, I get it now. Now I know why I'm not a movie star and I'm a plumber. You want to know why? You want to know why that wish person that you aren't was never possible and wasn't your place. It's good to know that your place is functional within the huge evolution of manpower in order to become organized to escape Earth one day. I can refer to the big picture.
Definitely. To escape. We love that, Mr. Mark. Yes. And to wrap up our discussion for today, looking ahead to the next decade, what do you believe the ideal relationship between human talent and emerging technology should look like?
Well, that's a hard prediction, but I'll just make one just for fun. Because it's reproduction first and technology second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have people, doesn't matter what you invent. That's going to be an evolutionary thing, reproduction. You're watching it happen right now in really strange, unpredictable ways. And then there's mass extinctions, which have always been and may possibly should be in the future, because it's not like we're all through, you know, and this is a cakewalk now. Those are the things that can interrupt technology or promote technology. Those are big picture ideas. Next 10 years, you're going to see AIs really govern pretty much everything. So the authenticity of the human being is going to be whitewashed out a little bit here as we adjust to an AI world. But then it's about the human experience, and the human condition is usually a complaint. And that complaint makes somebody authentic and for other humans to relate to. And that's where entertainment gives us rewards. Watching other people confess about their human condition helps us identify with our own, and we heal from that and we progress from that. So the AI thing, it's going to be a hard next 5 years. But once that becomes a calculator tool rather than a rely on source of adapting to society, because we're relying on it right now, and it's paying off. And you know, for me, AI is a pretty good friend. That's always positive and optimistic. I can't get that from my sister, who doesn't like me. So
I totally agree with you. Yeah, Mr. Mark.
Yeah,
AI is the next revolution, which is, whether you like it or not, it will boom sooner or later. not boom, it's already boom, right?
It's boomed now, but yeah. It's only started. We're only 5 years into this thing. I think another 10 years, we're going to see it really do some fascinating things about controlling society. But then again, it's not about the computer's life. It's about humanity's conditions. So those are always going to be the hardcore felt areas. And what's the most important? I'm sorry. What is the most interesting to people? Really? It's other people. We really are interested in other people. So it's not going to dominate humanity. This is going to help us become more interested in other people.
Well, Mr. Mark, would you like to plug in something?
Sure. I'm the author of The Fungus Theory of Conscious Growth. It's on Amazon. And basically, it's the concept of biology developing a singular fungus in the beginning, one single fungus that was both plant and animal together. Eventually, it split away so that the plant life could feed the animal life and make a human being, which is basically the spore of that large original fungus that is in the world that we live in today.
Certainly. Yes, people, let's support Mr. Mark L. Christensen. Please buy the book where books are sold. It's available right now. And Mr. Mark is having another books, not only one, but two books coming, right, Mr. Mark?
That's right. Yep, 2-3 books coming. Yes.
Yes, I'm looking forward for that. And when will be published?
Sometime this year, not 27.
This year, people, this year. So looking forward for that, Mr. Mark.
Well, thank you, Daniel.
And let's talk about again and again and again on Science 101. And people, please do visit our official website for all the podcasts that we are creating, because Mr. Mark and I doing two of those Universal Podcast Network. And we usually do Science 101 and Psychology 101. And please visit www.universalpodcast.net. And of course, our podcast itself, wherever you listen.
Wonderful, Daniel. Thank you. We'll see you again.